Out. If you don't have one, there should be one on the end of the rows, and if you don't have one and you'd like to just write your name in that and take it with you, please do so. That's our gift to you, us as a church. I want to ask some people to look at a few verses. Mary, could you look up Joshua 1:1-2. Dan, could you look up Acts 1:8? Gabby, could you look up 2 Corinthians 5:17? Rhonda, thanks. Lamentations 3:22-23. And Charlie, Philippians 3:13. And one more. John 8:6. It's hard to. Okay. Like I said, the building is close to being finished. There's still some things that need to be done. They have to put they're putting in the ceiling, the drop ceiling. They put in the lights in there. There's motion sensor lights in some of the rooms that really jostled me. You know, I went in to check it out, and what's in this room? And the lights came on, so they need to put on some doors, but it's getting close. It's pretty much, if you see it, it's finished on the outside, but if you walk through it, you can certainly get a sense of what it'll be like. And it's a great opportunity for us. You know, we kind of move forward as a church to do some things better than we've done in the past. To think, hey, this building is better, so I want us to be better, kind of a thing. Sometimes a change can be a great catalyst for growth. Maybe you move into a new house or a new to you house, and you think, hey, this time I'm going to do it the way I really want. This time I'm going to get it right. I'm going to decorate it the way I want to. Or I'm not going to make the same mistakes I did with the last house. I'm going to do the satin paint, not the flat paint, to leave all the marks. Or I'm going to have that garden I always wanted. Maybe you get a new car or a new-to-you car. It's a fresh start, and I'm going to take care of it. And this time I'm going to have regular oil changes, and I'm not going to let the kids, trash it. And this is going to be a fresh start. You have kids. That might be the biggest catalyst of change of all. I want to be the man, or I want to be the woman that my kids see me to be. You have a new job. I want to start out right. I want to be making good relationships with my boss and with my coworkers. It's a new start. I get to start over. In a lot of ways, I feel like that's true for us with a new building. I can do things better. I can be better. I can encourage others to be better. Already, and this is rare for me, I've already planned out, everything we're going to be going through all winter, which is, great for me. Some of you know that we did a survey a few months ago, and finally got the results back from that. And basically, you don't realize it when you're taking the survey, but it's basically breaking church, for a healthy church, there's like these 8 metrics that are essential for church growth or church health. And you look at the metrics on from the surveys, and it's kind of like staves in a bucket. Like you look at the staves, the little things on the side, the slats, you're only going to fill your bucket to where the lowest stave is, right? You're going to leak out your bucket there. So one of and that's kind of an outdated illustration for us, so I thought better, holes in a Slurpee cup makes it a little more easy to follow. But so think about, the different ways, the different metrics. And maybe it's outreach evangelism is the lowest one. It wasn't the lowest one. That was our highest one. So I'm just going to use that. I'll tell you the lowest one. But, and say these are how we scored on all these different things. Well, is you're pouring the water in, it's going to leak out your bottom hole. Whatever your lowest level is, whatever the thing is that you have the most room for improvement, that's where it's going to leak out. And you're never going to be more full or more healthy as a church than your lowest hole. So a matter of looking at the survey is a matter of taking it and being able to say, hey, if we could raise that hole up, you know, we could be that much more healthy. And then you go and you look at what's the next thing. So it's an opportunity, again, for growth as we're moving, and we'll talk about this more later, probably next week, about what that lowest hole is and how we can start addressing that, what that minimum factor is. But change is good. God sends these natural break opportunities for change, and without change, you kind of plateau. You're either going forward or backward. So we talked about buildings and new cars and houses, but you know, it can be kind of a time for renewal. But what about you? You know, a time of change or time of newness, as we talk about, can be time for renewal. You know, if you're set in your ways, this can be an opportunity, to permission to be, you know, unset, you know, become yourself 2.0. And that was old meeting in the school, Anna, and this is going to be new meeting in the new building, Anna. Or this, that was set up in takedown, Charlie, in the old building, but now we got tables and things in the wall and permanent setup, Charlie, right? That was just, you know, stacking up chairs, Mike, you know, in the old building, and now it's stacking up chairs, Mike, in the new building. We're still going to have to stack up chairs. But we moving forward, and so can each of us, but moving forward is not always easy to do. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians several times about how we look at the Old Testament, the people are examples for us to follow, and how to become more godly, to see God's will lived out in our life. And just principles and strategies for Christian living. And one of the examples I want us to look at is a change with Joshua and the people of Israel. Joshua's leading the Israelites as they're moving to a new place. Okay, they're going from the desert, you know, over into the promised land. And kind of the backstory on Joshua, I put a little quicker, but the backstory on Joshua is that the Israelites have been, in bondage in Egypt, and they're led out of bondage by Moses, and then they're going around in the desert for 40 years, and they've been out here in the desert, and they're finally, you know, getting ready to go across the Jordan River here into Jericho, that God had promised them that land 4 decades earlier, and going into Canaan, and they're finally getting ready to go in. And Joshua's their new leader, and he's preparing his people to take this land that God has promised them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And the book begins with God telling Joshua how to make his first move. Because Joshua is a brilliant strategist, he's an outstanding leader, he's also boldly and absolutely and unapologetically committed to serving God, the God of his fathers. And as a result, God used Joshua in extraordinary ways. And in fact, it was Joshua, not Moses, that led the people into the promised land. And by following Joshua's example, you can begin to, you know, learn how to change and possess the promised land that God has in store for your life. So we're going to look back at Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to look at the necessary step for making your move from the way it is to the way you'd like to be. But one of the things you need to do is to turn the page. To turn the page. You need to be able to accept change in your life. You need to be able, in some ways, to let go of the past, to be able to move forward, to start fresh, to take a new step when the time calls for it. Listen, we'll get to the person who had this verse, but the first words God speaks to Joshua is, Moses, my servant, is dead. This Moses was a great man of God. God used him in a lot of awesome ways, miraculous ways. The anointing was on his life. As a child, he was saved from Pharaoh, and he grew up in a royal household, and God was preparing him for awesome tasks. And through Moses, God saved the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. And through Moses, God parted the waters of the Red Sea. And through Moses, he gave Israelites the Ten Commandments and the books of the law. And Moses was a great man, but he didn't live forever. He lived for 120 years, and then he died. And the nation of Israel mourned for him for 30 days. And then it was time to move on. And Joshua 1, verse 1 and 2. Who had that?
After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites.
Okay. So God is saying, in effect, here, turn the page, Joshua. Moses was a great man, he was my servant, but he's gone, and it's time for you to move on. For those of you that are still in that desert area of your life, God may be saying to you today to turn the page, to let go of the past. It's time to move on. Sometimes the greatest obstacle to change for us is, and to experiencing the kingdom of God in your life today, is a refusal to let go of yesterday, the things that happened in the past. You know, you can't steal second base with your foot still on first. I mean, you know, you got to first get off the base if you want to start running forward at some point. It's the same in our life. You have to let go of some of the things in your past if you want to change. If you want to move into the future that God has planned for you. And I've seen churches struggle with this. New pastor comes in, but sometimes people never accept, you know, that the old pastor left, and his name comes up in every meeting. And, you know, Pastor Bill used to do it this way, not that way. And I wonder if Joshua experienced some of that. You know, this isn't the way that Moses always did it. I've also seen some pastors come into churches from other ministries, and they try to do everything the same as their previous church. You know, at the old church, we used to have the offering after the sermon. Why don't you do that here? This is how we used to do the children's ministry at my old church, and on and on. And at some point, you need to realize you're not at your old church anymore, or you don't have your old pastor anymore, and it's time to move on. Edmund Burke said this, said the past should be a springboard, not a hammock. He's saying that we shouldn't live in the past, but we can learn the lessons that we've, you know, in our past to move us forward. It's what helps us to turn the page. You know, I'm often tempted to look back at my college days and think, oh, you know, life was so, you know, easy back then. What happened? You know, it's one of the things, tricks that life plays on you. You know, the past always looks better than it was. You know? God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. It's time now for you to move on. Turn the page. I want you to ask yourself today, what page in my life needs to be turned? What part of the past am I hanging on to? In what way am I allowing yesterday to hold me back? And whether that involves a person, a circumstance, a bad decision, whatever it is in your past is blocking your future, that we need to let go of that, to turn the page. Acts 1:8. Okay, so this is Christ talking to his followers, and we want to move forward, you know, to the point where we change the world, right? That's Jesus' charge to his followers. And it's kind of this modeled out in this concentric circles, like change Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. And, you know, we want to change the world. That's where we want to get to. But we have to start by drawing an even smaller circle, you know, with ourselves, with me. Leo Tolstoy wrote, everybody thinks of changing humanity, and nobody thinks of changing himself. Yes, this move is kind of, in a way, a chance for us to start over as a church, to get better. But we can't change humanity, or even change a community, if we don't first change ourselves. But why can't it be that this is a proponent for change for you? Why can't it be that 3 years from now, you know, from today, you say, well, every day since the day we moved into that new building, I've taken my Bible reading seriously. Ever since we moved from the school, I knew it was time for the Holy Spirit to make a move in my life. To ask you to catch the wave of newness and renewal and embrace it in your own life. I don't know if I gave up this verse, the one before Lamentations. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Therefore,
that God is constantly creating and recreating as he wants the old to be gone and the new to come. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. His compassions, his mercies are new every morning. You're not too far gone. Yesterday is not going to control tomorrow. Philippians 3:13.
Oh, that's me. Sorry. Oh. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead.
Okay. Forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead. It's never too late to become the person that you always wanted to be. It's never too late to become the person that you always wanted to be. Zacchaeus was a cheat and a taker his whole life, and then he became an honest man and a giver. The woman at the well went from an immoral lifestyle to an evangelist. The disciple, Simon, whose name means shifting, went to being called Peter, which means rock. And all these changes were from encountering Jesus. John 8:36.
So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.
Okay. That you can be set free. You can be changed from the inside with an encounter with Jesus. And we meet him in his word. We meet him through his spirit, times of prayer, through our moments of worship, and also through fellowship. You know, through a well-spoken word given in love from a trusted friend. Because I mean, we're all unfinished, every one of us. Just like the youth center is unfinished, our church is unfinished, each one of us are unfinished. And once we raise our lowest area, something else will be lowest. And that's not a defeating concept. It's great to know where to put our energies and where we have the most room for improvement. The church will always be unfinished as we change to be like the bride of Christ. And as a child of God, we continually strive for sanctification to become more and more like his Son in our spirit and in our character. But let go and turn the page from your past, from the thing that's holding you back, from the anchor that's keeping you from becoming the person you always hoped to be, and that you know that God wants you to be. And I don't know what that anchor is for you. Maybe that anchor is self-defeating belief. Maybe you feel worthless or incompetent, sometimes even repulsive to those you love. For some, it might be a self-defeating behavior, overspending, overeating, overdrinking, overachieving, overpleasing, overworrying. For some of you, it's going to involve relationships. If I could just control my temper, if I could just stop manipulating people, if I could only fix the pain that's inside of me that causes me to wound everybody else. And the list goes on. Can we get controllers and leaders and clingers and stuff our emotions down? And we make no progress in kind of a relational part of our lives. And maybe you know how one of these things feels. Or maybe you're thinking of some other people that fit in these categories. But remember, we're not talking about other people today. We're talking about that first circle. We're talking about you. We're talking about me. Maybe it's you has pushed your spouse away, or a parent away, or your kids away, pushed your colleagues away, or destroyed a friendship. But your life, my life, doesn't have to be this way. By God's grace, you can shift gears and you can start today. Genuine change, genuine freedom, the free indeed freedom that you and I seek can only be found in Jesus Christ. Because the truth is that you're not worthless or incompetent or repulsive. And those self-defeating thoughts aren't true. But we might need to make a few shifts. And being open to the input of the Holy Spirit, his word, maybe the helpful words of an honest friend, can be the greatest blessing that each of us will know. And what that's going to all mean for each of you is going to be different. But things are changing around the hub. I hope we take this opportunity to change individually within the hub as we seek to change our lives and our will to match up with our unchanging God. And I pray that we would do it now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. God, help us today to be open to change, to soften our hearts, to be soft clay in your hands, to be molded by you in the ways that we needed to be molded. Help us especially not to clench up and protect and shield away that one area of our life or our heart that we know you most want to work on. God, help us to catch this wave of newness and renewal, God, that it just wouldn't happen in boards and siding and drywall, but in the linings of our heart. God, we want to open our spirit to you today. God, give us the wisdom of your Holy Spirit to see where you want to work and then the courage to follow through on your directions. God, it's in your name, Jesus. Amen.